Hey, good morning, Fort Alliance, Fort Saskatchewan, and our extended digital family. I'm so glad that you've taken the time to join us and to gather with us digitally this morning. It's great to be with you and with those of you who are here with me as well. I love it when the kingdom of heaven collides with earth. I love it. I want to share a story with you, and you need to know, like, this story has nothing to do with me. I had no part in it, but it's a story that nonetheless is really inspiring me in regards to this Think Kingdom series that we're in the midst of right now. As a new individual in Fort Saskatchewan, I'm getting to know my neighborhood and my neighbors. And little by little, that's happening and what have you. And there's one couple in particular that I've been getting to know over a number of visits and even breaking of bread with them and what have you. And man, their journey absolutely inspires me. I want to tell you a little bit about them. 7 years ago, this couple was literally living on the streets. They were both, as individuals, even prior to them being together, homeless and really living for their next high, completely addicted to meth and dependent on it and really it alone. Over the course of a series of events, their paths crossed and later led to a pregnancy and some decisions needed to be made. And for her, this was kind of like a massive moment. It was a moment where she realized, all right, it's time to make some changes, to make some shifts. And she sought up some help as she looked to get clean. And in the process of that, she, via the individual she was meeting with and what have you, found Jesus. And Jesus, in his good and in his kind and in his tender way, drew her fully into relationship with him. In that process, she was making him then make some choices and some decisions and what have you. And so he recognized the need for himself to get clean as well. But it wasn't until not too long ago, he was actually attending an alpha at her church. And there, he himself found Jesus and gave his life to him, and about a year ago now was baptized. It's incredible when I visit with them, as I process life with them, to think that 7 years ago they were homeless, living for their next high, and today they're raising a family and they're one of my neighbors. It's inspiring to me. It absolutely motivates me to want to be a part of what Jesus is doing as we think kingdom, as we have those conversations, as we pour our hearts and our lives into others. If you're maybe tuning in and for some reason hit the watch button and are catching this, I want you to know that if you are facing something today where you feel like you are up against insurmountable odds, there is a God who deeply loves you, who created you for purposes and plans that he has, most importantly of which is for you to know him, to be in relationship with him, to walk with him. And even in the midst of those insurmountable odds, this relationship with God starts by you coming to him and saying, look, Jesus, I am sorry for this garbage that I've allowed into my life. I am sorry for these evil thoughts. I'm sorry for these addictive ways. Here, Jesus, please, please forgive me. Because at the cross, Jesus shed his blood so that you could be forgiven, freed, made whole. And he's all about doing a healing work, and he longs to do that in you. So Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. And then Jesus, here, my life is yours. You need to process that with someone. You can text us at the office. We'd be happy to do that. We would I'd be more than willing to help you find the appropriate places to talk through whatever those insurmountable odds are. But please know there is a God who loves you and gave his all for you. And my neighbors are just one example of what Jesus is doing on this side of heaven. It's just one example of what Jesus is doing as he brings fully his kingdom and it collides with us here on earth. But as I said, their story, it really does motivate me. Like, it inspires me to want to be a part of his mission, right? And we've been talking about Jesus' mission, that his as his people were to be marked by love. And from there, as his people marked by love, we have this vision, this reason why we exist as the local church. And it's to serve the four, to reach our region and to reach our world as well. And that's what we're going to look into a little bit further today. And I believe that as you see the text I bring us through today, you'll see how starting with the fort will naturally begin to extend to the region, which will naturally begin to extend into the world. And more, I can't wait to hear stories like the stories of my neighbors where we see the kingdom of heaven collide with earth. And so to do this, I want to take us to the book of Acts. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. I have been wanting so badly the last 3 weeks to actually touch on this passage because it really sets up and speaks into all three of these messages. But I knew I was holding off for this morning. And so here we are getting into the book of Acts. So we're going to look at Acts and we're going to read a chapter 1 verses 6 to 11 and then we're going to process it together. So allow me to just read that for you. It goes like this. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And they strained to see him rising into heaven. Two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go." I love how this passage starts in verse 6, and I think it is also appropriate in the midst of 2020. We find the apostles asking, and the word "kept" there makes me just kind of envision, you know, like kids begging their parents almost. They kept, if you will, asking, "Lord, has the time come for Israel, for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" As the angel spoke to them, we see them actually giving further clarity to this, that just as you saw Jesus go today, you will see him come again. They're speaking of, for lack of time here, really the second coming of Jesus, fully bringing about his kingdom on earth, as it is in heaven. And the funny thing is they wanted this oh so bad, but Jesus didn't even go there. Church, I got a question for you. When was the last time that you were processing the second coming of Jesus or the end times with somebody in 2020 in the midst of pandemic and the state of the things all over the world? I can't speak for every single one of you watching, even those of you here, but I've heard this conversation a lot. I've seen it lots. And yet I want us to notice how Jesus responds. "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you, but..." He changes the subject. "But you will be my witnesses." Now, please don't get me wrong. It's important for us to understand the end times. I spoke a message on that a few months, or maybe more like a few weeks ago. And I know that if it was close in the New Testament times, it's even closer today. Jesus is going to come again. But look at the point of emphasis he makes. But you will be my witnesses. So let me ask you a second question. Church, when was the last time you shared your faith with someone? That you talked about your relationship with Jesus with someone? If you can think of more times that you've been talking about the end times than you have been sharing your faith, I'd like to suggest this is out of whack. That's out of balance. Jesus redirects us here as he's giving his final words to say, look, yeah, those things are going to happen. The Father's got them figured out. He's got them planned. And whether that's in our lifetime or in a lifetime to come, the bottom line is that we, his disciples, his church, are to be his witnesses. This is so important for us that we understand as the church, we are to be on mission with Jesus, serving the fort, reaching the region, and reaching the world. If this is a little out of whack for you, perhaps, there's one of two reasons. Not only two reasons, perhaps there's one of two. The first one might be fear. When it comes to fear, I want to say this. I don't have to discern where fear comes from, because the scriptures already tell me that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. So know that this is not from Jesus, the fear of stepping out and sharing our faith, of sharing the journey, the story of the journey we have of walking with Jesus. On the flip side, possibly one of the other things it might be is a lack of power. But what I mean by that is the power that the Holy Spirit brings to us. Jesus spoke of that power in this very passage. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Perhaps there's a need for the first time experiencing the filling of the Holy Spirit, or a need for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have to wonder where this comes from, because the scripture tells me as well. This comes from Jesus. This power, this giving, this filling of the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus. And it is oh so necessary for us as his church to fully bring about and be a part of his mission, his vision for us. Now, please don't get me wrong with what I'm about to say here. I know that the Holy Spirit can move and will move whenever, however he wants. We cannot put him in a box. We cannot limit him. We cannot contain him. And in fact, I'm at the very end of this message going to pray that Holy Spirit would fill us and empower us and lead us and guide us as a fellowship. Because there's no point in speaking into this and then not praying and asking for more of that even today. That said, though, for me, understanding the Holy Spirit has really been a journey. It had been a number of years where I allowed Jesus to really kind of deconstruct some old ideas and then bring about his idea and then allow me to process what's more and build up a greater level of faith and understanding for Holy Spirit and his power within me. And this had taken me a number of years to actually work through. And I desperately want to lead us as a fellowship into this place where we experience and know more of Holy Spirit. In the spring, I had lined up a weekend Holy Spirit encounter where I had one of, if not in my opinion, probably the best teacher on the Holy Spirit in Canada coming to be a part of a weekend for us. But unfortunately, COVID shut that down. And yet, here we are trying to navigate these stage two openings and reopenings and what have you. And so I just want you to know that I actually have him lined up once again for January 29th to the 31st, and I want you to mark that down because I would love for you to be a part of a weekend where we process further what it means to know Holy Spirit, to hear His voice, to be filled in a fresh and a powerful way with Him, and to be led by Him. And I'm so excited for that opportunity. So January 29th to 31st, mark that down, please, because I do want us to move further and further into this. And yet, like I said, I know a weekend isn't the be-all, end-all, that Holy Spirit moves when He wants, how He wants. That's His right to do so. But I think it's good for us to learn and to like I did, allow us to go through some deconstructing and some Jesus of allowing Jesus to kind of rework our understanding of that. So I wanted you to be aware of that. Fear can hold us back. So can that lack of power. And we need more of that power. Because when that Holy Spirit power comes upon you, Jesus says, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Sound familiar? Jerusalem's their city, right? Judea is like their province. Samaria is their region. The ends of the earth is the ends of the earth. I mean, I can only imagine the disciples upon this first conversation where Jesus gives them this mission, this vision for them, right? And they're sitting around looking at each other going, yeah, I've been, 2 days journey that way. I've been a couple days journey that way. Remember that time Jesus took us all the way up north to Caesarea Philippi? That's it. That's as far as I've been. And Jesus now is saying, no, the ends of the earth. Go to the ends of the earth. To your city, to your region, to your world. Likewise, we say, serve the fort, our city. Reach the region, reach the world. Interestingly enough, this is a pattern that we see built upon in the book of Acts as a whole. You see, as you kind of read through Acts, for the most part, up to chapter 7, there's this ministry and this reaching of Jerusalem. And then I realize it's via persecution, which we'll touch on a little bit more as we go. But from there, chapter 8 comes along. There begins this move where the early church is kind of dispersed, if you will. And now there's this reaching of their region. Then you get to chapter 13 where Paul is commissioned and sent out to the ends of the earth. See, as you start with the city, you inevitably move into the region and from there move into the world. And Acts is a model of that for us. There's this early church saint, if you will. His name is Tertullian. And Tertullian lived in the second century of the early church. And he is a believer from the Roman province of Africa. He's was trained as a lawyer, and many people would go and suggest that his father was actually a centurion in that Roman province of Africa. And he's thought to be one of the early apologists, one of the early defenders of the faith, if you will. Some people go so far as to even say that he is the father of Western theology. But in his writings, he writes this in regards to the mission, to this vision to reach the city, the region, the ends of the earth. And I think it's fascinating for us today. He says this, "We the Christians but are but of yesterday." Remember, this is in the midst of persecution, which I've already spoken to. "We, the Christians, are but of yesterday, yet we have filled all the places you frequent, the cities, lodging houses, villages, townships, markets, the camp itself, the tribes, town councils, the palace, the senate, and the forum. All we have left you is your temples. Behold, every corner of the universe has experienced the gospel, and the whole earth and bounds of the world are occupied with the gospel. Here they are in the second century already realizing that this gospel message, this message of walking and knowing Jesus, has gone out to the ends of the earth. Fort Alliance, how cool would it be to write of us as a people who've served the fort, reached the region, and reached the world, that we are marked and known as a people who have filled all the places we frequent. Our city, the lodging houses, the markets, the camps, the towns, the councils, the palace, the senate, and the forums. And I would go so far as to say, even the filling and the taking of their temples. About 10 years ago, I was in Florida. The denomination actually took me to Florida for some training. I know, suffering for the sake of the gospel. And while we were in Florida with this denominational gathering of leaders and training and what have you, they took this group of us to a pub. Yes, the denomination took me to a pub. But it wasn't just any old pub. It was a pub that was developed and built in a church that was over 100 years old. An immaculate building that no longer served as a gathering of the local church, but as a temple of its day, a pub. And I had an epiphany that struck me as I ate in that restaurant that I have never forgotten. I feel as though it was yesterday it hit me. The world is more than willing to take sacred places and turn them into a secular place. So why wouldn't we, as God's people, be willing to do the exact same thing and take secular places and turn them into sacred spaces? Because within us, Jesus, Holy Spirit, reigns, and we bring the temple of God into them. I can only imagine the people who built that church over 100 years ago just turning in their graves as they thought of that. But if the world is willing to take sacred, turn it to secular, we too must bring that which is sacred into the secular. Serving the fort, reaching the region, and reaching the world. Now, I want to be really clear as I wrap up. This isn't always going to be easy. Jesus says it like this: you will be my witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That word witness, if you were to read this in a Greek translation, the original language that this was written in, the word, as you would see it there, is martyrs. Let that sink for a second. The word for witness in its original language is martyrs. Yeah, the same word that we get in our English language today, martyrs. Not always be easy. And in the early church, they knew it. In fact, they often felt and thought it was a privilege, an honor, to give their all, to even lose their life for Jesus. And yet all too often, I think in our North American church, we just want to not be noticed. But Jesus has not just given us a mission, he joins us in the mission. A vision where we recognize that we exist to serve the fort, to reach the region and the world. And we do so as folks who are marked by love. But love does not mean that we're soft and weak. Love is what makes us oh so different than the way of the world. Love is what compels people to see that there really is a better way. Love is the force that allows us to represent God, to serve the fort, to reach the region and the world. And the reality is doing this will cost us something. It will cost us. It cost the early church greatly. It will cost us something. But when marked by love, we don't just serve the fort, reach the region, reach the world. We change the fort. Change the region. Change the world. We're a part of that heaven, the kingdom of heaven, colliding with earth. And this motivates and compels me to make much of Jesus and to put him at the forefront of who I am day by day. Fort Alliance, wherever you're watching this from, on a walk, on a bench, in a coffee shop, in your living room, in your bedroom perhaps, in your pajamas for today, Jesus has placed you exactly where he wants you. And one of the beauties of COVID-19 is it has dispersed us in such a way that we are spread out throughout our community, our region, and world uniquely to serve, to reach, to change. And I pray with all my heart that you and me might receive fresh filling of Holy Spirit power to do and to be just that. Would you pray with me? Lord God, over my brothers, my sisters, wherever they find themselves today, Holy Spirit, on their behalf, I ask for more of you. May we not be a people who are bound and captive by fear, but may we be marked by love, empowered by the Holy Spirit, serving the fort, reaching the region and the world. Jesus, you have given us this mission, and even if it costs us something, Jesus, we long to be a part of what you're doing as you change the world. Holy Spirit, fall wherever these folks are right now. Fill them. Change the world through us. In your name, amen.